You may have seen this story, maybe you didn't. Panama City Beach in Florida. There's some folks out there swimming. Everybody's having a great time over the weekend. And then they notice that there's a group of people that are struggling out in the water. The folks on the beach decided to form a human chain from the beach out to the water to rescue some folks from what was described in the news as a riptide from which these people could not escape. I think the reporting on this story has been really bad because they haven't described exactly what was happening to the folks out in the water or how the chain was able to reach them. But the woman who was on the beach and said, hey, wait a minute, we've got to do something, is a lady named Jessica Simmons. And producer Elif has found her, and she joins us now on WGN. Hi, Jessica. This is John. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
Hey, John. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Congratulations on behalf of everybody in this story and the world that needs good news once in a while. Thank you for what you did, Jessica.
And thank you. I do appreciate that. I don't see myself as a hero. A lot of people do.
That's the way the story's being told to me, and I buy it. All right. So, but can you just tell us your perspective? I mean, tell me how you came to this scene and what you saw.
Well, I was in the ocean as well, but I was on a sandbar. I was looking for sand dollars, and I kind of looked towards the ocean, I mean, towards the shore to see if I could see my family out there, and they were all looking in one direction. The whole entire beach was looking in one direction.
Okay, pause right there. So you are out in the ocean, but there's a sandbar. So the water gets mm-hmm. deep, but then it gets shallow again, and there's a sandbar mm-hmm. out there. How deep is the water on that sandbar?
The sandbar was probably right to my knees.
Okay, so how far out to sea are you, though you're standing in water only up to your knees?
It was probably about 100 yards.
Wow, so that's interesting, isn't it? You can go 100 yards out, and then it gets shallow again where this sandbar is. Okay, keep going.
Yes. So there's deep part that you have to get to the sandbar. So
right.
I swam back, and I asked the people on the beach what was going on because I automatically thought it was a shark or a dolphin. But as I stood up on the sandbar, I didn't see none of that. I didn't see the dolphins, and I didn't see a shark either. And I knew if I stayed on the sandbar, I would probably be eight.
So yeah, right.
I swam back to shore, and when I got there, that's when they let me know there was some people drowning. They couldn't get out of a riptide.
What do you mean? But this is where I get confused. It would seem to me like isn't a riptide a fast current of water going back out to sea?
Yes.
Okay, but
is.
if they were in that, then how are you all sitting there watching them? It would seem to me like they'd be gone by now. What were they doing?
What happened was that we have a pier here in Bay County that is about 1,500 feet long. They were all the way out there. They had struggled and fought all the way to almost where we could see them. Because 1,500 feet out there, they just look like a little speck. And we were able to, they have been struggling to get to us. And when we could finally hear them, that's when people started looking on the beach because they were screaming at people to help them.
And these people, though, that were 1,000, 1,500 feet out, were they able to stand as well like you? Was it relatively shallow water?
No. When they were 1,500 feet out, we couldn't hear them, and it just looked like little specks.
Well,
They were so exhausted from swimming up to us. When we could finally hear them, they were at least about 300 yards from us.
Okay.
We could hear them from there.
So they're sort of swimming back against this current, but they're struggling and they're yelling for help.
Yes, exactly. And only two of them have floats out of the nine. So you can only imagine how exhausted the ones were that did not have a float.
And my understanding is that's a family of people and that one had gone out after the other to try and rescue each, huh?
Yes. And then two other families, there was a girl named Tabitha. She is she was by herself. And then there was a couple, an Asian couple. They somehow all got sucked into the same riptide. So there was a family of six, one girl, and then a couple that made a total of nine people that was out there.
So you're watching this now from the shore, and you're watching this group of people struggle to get back in, but also fighting the current that's pulling them out. So it sounds like they're maybe in a neutral position. They're not gaining any ground, but you can at least see them there. Okay, so now what happens?
Well, like you said, it wasn't gaining any ground. They were fighting and fighting, and they were yelling at us to bring throw them a rope. They were upset with because the police had showed up, and the police couldn't do nothing either because of the current being so strong. They were waiting on a boat, but it never showed up until the very end when we had already gotten everybody out.
Well, where's the lifeguards? And don't they have paddle boards or surfboards or something?
Yes. Now, the lifeguards get off at 5 o'clock every single day, no matter what. They get off at 5 o'clock. So it's swim at your own risk after that time. And it was about 6:30. And the paddle boards, they didn't have a paddle boards or anything like that. But there was a guy out there that had a surfboard, and he was surfing the waves because the waves were about 3 to 4 foot tall. So he was out there swimming and surfing it. And at first, I got a little angry. Because I was like, this man has a surfboard and he's not helping these people.
Dude, stop surfing and let's go.
But as I swam out there, I realized he was part of the riptide. He was also out there and got stuck in it when he was surfing. And he had the Asian couple on top of his surfboard.
Okay, so now you're watching this from the shore. So now, and everybody, the cops are there. Nobody has a plan, and we're waiting for a boat that doesn't show up. So then what happens?
Yes. So we have, my husband comes over because we had my whole family there at the beach. So my husband walks up, and there's some guys that are talking among themselves, trying they can do, and you can hear over in the distance them yelling at us, throw a rope, throw a train, throw a rope, do something, we're drowning. So my husband says, we got to do something, we got to get out here, and he's talking to the beach, everybody out there, they're all looking, and he's yelling, he's like, we got to get something done, we got to do something. Well, that's when my husband, there was three other guys, I don't know any of their names, they were all strangers, three other guys and two women. One of them was a nurse, but none of them could swim. The guys couldn't swim and the women couldn't swim. And so they said, let's form a human chain. We can't throw a rope out there, but we can make one. So that's where the whole idea of going arm to arm, wrist to wrist, or with each other, to make a human chain, because we knew we could support on each other to bring us back in. And that was remarkable in itself to see that many people, 70-something people that don't know each other, support and depend on each other to get each other in.
You say we knew that we would be able to get back in, but the riptide being what it is, I think that was a risk on everybody's part. For all you know, the chain breaks, and now a whole bunch of you are out there.
Well, we never got out far enough where we could not have our feet. If you can plant your feet, you can move. You can get through a riptide.
You say that, but wait a minute. I've been in a riptide before, too. You're being modest here. I've been in a riptide before where I was able to tread water and touch, and that was terrifying, and it can carry you. You cannot anticipate what's going to happen, but fair enough. So the chain's going out. Now, are you on the end of this human chain as people are volunteering and extending out to the water?
No, I was the actual person who went out there and got them close enough to the human chain, because by the time it grew up to 70 people, there was still a 15 to 20 foot difference between them two. And they wasn't making no time, and they wasn't getting anywhere. They were staying stabled. And so I swam out there. I took the boogie board to the mother, and I got the mother and the child out first, got them to the human chain.
Okay, stop right there. So, Jessica, you're saying that the chain goes out, but it's still 20 feet or so from these people.
Yes.
And the water's swishing through. And so but then you are out there, and you go out, get them, and then bring them back to the human chain. Is that it?
Yes, because they, at the very end of the human chain, we had guys that were 6 foot something. Their heads were were the only thing sticking out of the water. They had arms out trying to reach for them, but it was just too far, and we couldn't get any more people out in front because it would be over their heads, and that, you know, they can't touch. We wanted to make sure everybody could have their feet dug into the ground so that when they were able to get the people, they could start pushing them back towards shore.
You know, we have a riptide problem in Lake Michigan, particularly on the Indiana and Michigan side. I don't know if it's so much on the Illinois side, but it's the way the lake was built and, you know, it's formed and the tide and all that. But it's just terrifying. So there you guys are. You're reaching out and you're now going back and forth on the boogie board and grabbing these people and putting them back on the chain. And then do they just pass them down like a bucket brigade, one person to the next?
Yes. So they end up being pushed, like the guys that were all on boogie boards when I was pushing them. And then they'd give me the boogie board back, and I'd go out for the next person. And then we got a group of three of them on a surfboard, and I was me and another guy got behind the surfboard, and we were pushing the surfboard towards the chain, and they were able to grab the surfboard and take the string of the surfboard and the string of the boogie board and pass it along to the next person until they were able to touch. And then we had a group of people that would go out in the water, grab them, and bring them back in that was not part of the human chain. They were just there to get them when they could touch.
You know, and the video that I saw, it was just very brief, and it wasn't that descriptive of what you've been telling us, and I so appreciate that. But you see, you know, tall people, short people, people who don't look real physically fit, and yet they're volunteering. Old, you know, black, white. I mean, it was just so not, I don't mean to overstate this point, but it was sure nice to see people all come together from different stations in life to help somebody out.
Right, exactly. That was probably the most remarkable thing about the entire process was that these are people who dropped everything from their, because it was a beautiful day and everybody had their families there. And instead of being on their cell phones and being on their and taking pictures of what was going on, everybody dropped that and went out and helped. That's why there's not so many pictures.
You're right.
That's why there's
not
any video. Yeah. It's because nobody was on it. They weren't standing around. They were actually helping. And that was a remarkable thing to see.
Jessica Simmons, I was on a phone line, and I need to let you go, Jessica. And by let you go, I mean not set you adrift. Have you been, you've been hearing from people all around the country, have you?
Yes. I spoke to people in Brazil and Italy and London. I actually got to find out who the family was. I got to meet them for the first time yesterday, the family that we saved. I didn't know their names. I've never met them in my life. And I actually got to meet them and tell, and you know, they got to tell me thank you and all that. We're still looking for all those people out there that helped that day, though. We only know a few.
Oh yeah,
but there was 70 of them. And
that would be a great
heroes.
That would be a great People magazine story where they put everybody back on the beach, you know, and just like a group photo and tell the story. You know what will happen too is that 900 people will show up, going, "Yeah, I was there. I was the one that saved them." But it's a wonderful story. Thank you again for doing it. And thank you for sharing your time with us. I know you've been obviously very busy, but we sure appreciate you telling us the story here.
Oh, thank you very, very much. I'm glad to be on your show.
If you're ever in Chicago, come visit our studio and we'll go to the, and I'd like you to come to the beach with me because I do swim in the lake here. Okay.
Oh, okay. Great. I've never been there, but I will definitely take advantage of that.
Thanks, Jessica.
You too. Bye-bye.
Simmons, part of the human love chain. It's 224 WGN.